back Sunday with Bishop Joseph Athley, being interviewed by David Ellis and Glenn Murray. Bishop Athley, before we went to the break for the news, we were talking, I raised a question of, we were talking about candidates and elections and filling a full slate, constituency and constituency branches, but all this is going to incur and imply finances of both of parties and of elections. First of all, two things. I want to know what will be your position. What is the position of the financing of political parties in their day-to-day operations? Looking back on the question of these system that Prime Minister Arthur had instituted, I think in 1996, 1997, where he allocated a sum of $350,000 to be given to the allocated between the parties in Parliament.
No, I think
in order to contribute to their daily operation. What is your position? That has been, you have not been able as the PDP to get any of that financing. What is your position? Are you satisfied with the explanation given to it? How has that affected your operations?
Oh, I'm not satisfied with the explanation given to it. And I think it's a bigger issue than the PDP not getting the subvention. I think democracy comes at a cost. It has a price. And I think if we don't underpin it with proper funding systems, we will pay the price in another way. And I think the framers of that mechanism, whatever you call it, that allowed for some kind of subvention to political parties would have understood that, I imagine. I think it is a lament that we are now at a situation where seemingly all of that subvention, $300,000, is going to one party. If I am mistaken, they ought to speak up and correct me, because it's not the first time I have asked about that or made reference to it, both inside and outside of Parliament. I don't fight this cause because of PDP. I fight this cause because of democracy. And I think those who provided for that understood that democracy has to be underpinned. In a broader frame, we need electoral and campaign and party financing in Barbados so that we could root out some of the potential for corruption that attaches to it. There have been those who have said, like I have earlier stated clearly, that we have gotten our way. We haven't. Look, I was shown a document ultimately after the Prime Minister, in her capacity as political leader of the Barbados Labour Party at their last conference in Queen's Park. She was speaking as a political leader, she said, now as Prime Minister. And one of the things she said was that, Joe, sorry, neither you nor the PD can get a red cent. Now, I didn't like the statement, the context in which it was made. How could a leader of a political party say that? You're not speaking as Minister of Finance or as a Prime Minister, speaking as a political leader. How could you say that? I thought it was out of place, out of order. I checked with the clerk, and for some time there was a document which could not be located. Suddenly after that statement was made, in the prior, the document was located. It is a document which is dated 1997, which purports in part to provide for a funding of $150,000 to each of the two main political parties in elections in Barbados. And the provision goes on apparently to suggest that a party must participate in the most recent election, fielded at least 10 candidates, and won at least one seat. Now, the document was not signed, not properly stamped. So I question its validity appearing suddenly after that episode. And my view was, look, the framers could not have intended that one party gets this. My position has been an honest position. If PDP can have it, we'll be happy. We can use it. But the truth of the matter is, no one party should be getting this. If the Barbados Labour Party has all of the seats at that time in Parliament, the Democratic Labour Party also participated in that election, got about a quarter of the votes, I seem to recall. This is a party with a long-standing legacy of contributing to the development of Barbados. And if the intention of the framers is to support democracy and party development, then if the PDP does not qualify because we were not a party in the last election, understandably, then the Dems should get that money. And if the Dems can't get that money, then the single party that now gets it should not be getting all. I think that that is almost immoral. And I think that that has not been managed well. And I don't think that we as PDP have been shouting loudly enough about it. Thank you for raising it and giving me the opportunity to see. In a wider frame, Glenn, you have to understand as well, David, how the opposition, the Office of the Opposition is funded and supported in Barbados. That is a story that people are significantly unaware of.
Tell us now, then.
I have at my disposal, David Glenn, a secretary, largely for typing and recording my notes and filing and so forth. I have an executive assistant responsible for the office. In addition to the two of them, I have a driver messenger who is not provided with any allowance. So he pays his expenses for movement out of his own pocket. He's not provided with a vehicle and no allowance. I have a messenger maid. Those are the four staff I have. Would you believe in Barbados in 2020, I do not even have a research officer? Would you believe in Barbados in 2020, where the government is spending $50 million or more on consultants per year? The Office of the Opposition, which is a constitutional position, does not have a research officer. Now, I'm not saying that that is the case only with reference to the PDP. It was so when Ms. Motley was leader of the opposition. It was so when Owen Arthur was leader, when David Thompson was leader. It was so. I'm saying it is not good enough. If we want to have something in this office, David and Blaine, we have to requisition that from the clerk. And if there's money available, we might get it. I've been in this office for over 6 months before I could get drapes or curtains for the window. The windows to keep the sun from coming in on the staff. 6 months. I am in this office today, David. The door is locked. I don't have access to the accommodation. So I'm sitting in a heated room talking to you. I am saying that attention needs to be paid to the way the Office of the Opposition is funded. It is not money to Joseph Attlee. It is the support of a constitutional office. And it cannot be that you have to make recourse to the clerk and compete with other items for the administration of Parliament.
I take your point in that regard, but I want to come back to this issue of the structure and the function of your own new political party. Because all of this discussion about how much money the taxpayers are putting into political parties and that sort of thing comes back to what is going to be so different about the structure and function of the PDP when we compare that to what we've had from the BLP and the DLP over the years. There are people, as you well know, who are sick and tired of what they've had. The promises, the failure to deliver, the increase in arrogance and stuff that goes with being in party politics, people who, after they get into office, behave as badly as ever, as far as some of the constituents see it, huh? And the outreach, the degree to which you get into office and you are cut off from the people, you change your telephone numbers, people can't reach you until the next elections. What's going to be so different about your party? What are you putting in place to make a real difference in that regard, rather than giving us same old, same old?
Well, we hope not to give you same old, same old. Our party philosophy is rooted in a democratic socialism, which we believe embraces privilege universally shared, as universally shared.
We hear that from all the politicians. That's not different.
That's a theory, but we bring a particular mindset and philosophy to this. We are rooted in faith. We are not a Christian party. But the element and dynamic of faith is strong. We are a people-centered party. We believe, therefore, that if we're people-centered, that has implications for the kind of policies that we formulate and promote. That is why I'm talking to you about democratizing patterns of ownership in Barbados.
I didn't ask you about policies. I asked you about party structure.
But I'm telling you, David, you said you don't want to see the same old.
Precisely, and it begins with structure.
Yeah, but our structures are informed by the philosophy that drives us and the objectives which we seek to serve. And I was trying to share that with you. We have an administrative structure right now. We have a party team that is divided into specific units with specific folks. Just tomorrow, David, I have a meeting I have a meeting, a forum with several of my people, and the focus of that forum will be to further develop and formulate a workers' agenda in Barbados. Every week, well, as often as I can, as often as we are able to, we meet with various interest groups in Barbados. We believe in governance that embraces the people. We believe in people's governance. We believe in giving a people a power that goes beyond the five-year voting mechanism. We believe in establishing the kind of structures that brings a level of accountability much more so into focus and that people participate
and
in.
How is that seen within that party?
Sorry?
How is that seen within the party, within the mechanisms and structures and processes within this new political party?
I have an economic team here that focuses on all matters of the economy. It is an economic team unit that I would put up against any economic team in Barbados, including the high-paid one of the government. And if you want a one-on-one with them, David,
no,
you can...
I'm dealing with the accountability. You just spoke about accountability. When I asked you for specifics on it, you tell me about the economic team. I'm talking about how this party is structured in a way that when people look at it, you feel as though the feet of the people involved are being held to the fire in a way that sometimes we believe the rest of the political parties don't do it. And therefore, if you're saying that you're new and you're different, tell us how.
I am telling you, David, with respect, if you want to look at governance, political parties pursue and seek office of government to express governance in various ways. And we are saying that a critical component for us is involving the people in that. That must mean you put in place mechanisms that give people a voice. That
such as, Bishop, give me like an example.
I'm not talking about people's assemblies as we know it, but there are people's governance mechanisms employed elsewhere that you can use.
Such as?
There's people's governance mechanisms. You set up forums given a legal or legitimate legislative base. Forums, fora within which ministers of government, members of parliament, constituency representatives must appear before these units to give an account of their stewardship. Governance is just one aspect of it. If you do not, we're people-centered. So the policies for them are people fine, but policies for the governance of our situation here in Barbados. People's, the element of people's government, we believe, David and Lane, we believe that we should enhance the role of the Senate of Barbados, given it more power to bring pressure to bear on ministers of cabinet and members of the lower house. We believe that there should be members of the Senate who are elected to the Senate on a nonpartisan basis. So they're not B or D or PDP or any such thing. And this gives you the opportunity to be able to create the kind of structures which can call for accountability on the part of persons who are in the front lines operating the interests of the people.
You said, since 2008, that has been clear to me, that there are people involved in the practice of politics at the elective level in Barbados who are attaching themselves to persons involved in illegal drugs activity in Barbados to help their cause. Talk to us about your party and how you are going to avoid that.
Well, we very much support, totally, any stand against corruption of any form, whether it be at the official or public service level, functionaries in the political process, we strongly oppose that. Our policies on law and order are designed to create a situation in Barbados where we have significant progress made with respect to proper governance with high levels of accountability, security and safety for the people and visitors of Barbados, and an environment in which law and order is prominent, is appreciated, and is properly remunerated. We have within the PDP a unit on law and order and governance in Barbados, fleshing out policies to bring us to that place.
Do you have a unit on law and order within the PDP?
Yeah, we have a unit on law and order within the PDP. We are governed by instincts.
By instincts?
Pardon me?
We are governed by instincts, which I hope will lead to self-regulation. But we are putting in place mechanisms to ensure that our people are accountable to the people of Barbados, that they're accountable internally to the party as well.
How are you going to deal with this issue of the politicians being linked to people who are involved in the illegal activity? What are the mechanisms within this party? How is it going to work to avoid those people? Yes, that's a
before you answer. Before you answer, Bishop, will your candidates or your MPs be expressly forbidden for having any such linkages with people in drugs or other illegal activity? How will you implement it? How will you police it? How will you make it happen?
We have discussed all those things, and trust me, we are not going to be engaging in this demeaning exercise of buying votes out there. That is very much counter to democracy. It's demeaning of our people. It is cheapening of our people and ourselves. We will not get involved in any kind of business connections that for the purpose of financing and funding will leave us exposed and subject to the preying of people who are criminally bent or who are oriented towards corruption.
How would you discipline any such member who contravenes such principles or policies of your party?
Well, it's always the business of expulsion. Marie, we are not that. Marie, we are not that. The PDP is not that. We are doing a very careful screening of people who are offering themselves as candidates right now.
You're screening the people who are also offering your money to run the campaign? Because if you are saying that you're not going to be involved with these people who may be associated with nefarious activity, the question is, how are you going to establish that and at what point?
And yes, David, we have specifically stated that. Absolute care and caution must be taken to avoid any kind of situation where people come offering gifts.
The devil is in the detail. You began this discussion today by saying that you knew the country was in trouble, but you never got the specific details that the government implemented. By the same token, you can speak very generally about what should happen, but everything depends upon the specific mechanisms that you put in place, because you're likely to find yourself facing the same criticism.
That is likely because you're dealing with a human situation. But I am telling you that in all our discussions, we are not only talking about policy orientation. We're talking about ethics, accountability, internal practices, practices in relation to the business community, practices at the community level, practices in the context of your professional endeavors. These things we are talking about in PDP. We're not just use it. We are talking about these things and developing platforms wherein we can treat these things.
Is there anything that is completed yet, rather than just talked about?
To which I would not want to speak right now.
Why not?
I made reference to one or two things, but there's some things which I would not want to speak to right now.
So you, just to suggest to you that if you wait too late, you could find, and you anticipate that we can have an early election. You said so already. So if you wait too late, then we're going to have to be trying to digest that along with manifesto promises.
We, David, are not going to wait too late unless this early election comes a little earlier than we anticipate. We think that we are on schedule for what we project to be the unfolding of the electoral calendar.
So we gotta wait.
But David, these things, Lane, are important to PDP. Our mantra, our slogan is God, growth, and greatness. They're not just words.
You're going to get some calls when we come back. A reminder that this edition of Down to Brass Tacks is coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Big or small, Williams Metals, we have it all.
Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing. Big or small, Williams Metals, we have
it all. Williams Metals, we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tacks Sunday. Let's take another call. Hello. Welcome to the program. We have a leader of the opposition.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Adlish has spoken about two known criminals being present at the state opening of Parliament. He subsequently raised the same question in the House. Now, I would like to know if he sees an alliance between political parties and the criminal element in Barbados.
But that's the same question we raised earlier. You're using different language.
If I may correct the caller, and I myself speak subject to correction, I don't know that I ever made
any reference to known criminals.
Criminals at Parliament. That was said by someone else. I don't think I wasn't even aware of that when it actually went down. I did make reference to my fear, the threat to democracy, which derives from too close links and relationship between political parties and criminal element, particularly drug element in Barbados. I spoke about that as far back as 2007, 2008, and I've since subsequently made a reference to it. I made reference to it to the last session in Parliament. But as to the presence of two people in Parliament, I was not aware at the time. I heard about it after, and I don't think I myself ever spoke to that.
What about you personally and how you see your future in politics, given your age right now? I think you should be in the vicinity of 66 or thereabouts. Many people are skeptical that anybody can come with a new party in Barbados and reap success immediately. It takes a gestation period before you would be able to see that kind of result. So what is motivating you towards the future when it comes to this PDP?
The immediate motivation, David, is in the interest of the preservation of democracy, as I said from the beginning, I've said many times, to see constructed a credible alternative to the government of the day. We've now gone to the stage where we're developing a political party which will enter the next election, God willing, and which we hope will be seen by Barbados as a credible alternative.
Well, how much time do you have yourself to be committed to this process?
As I have said to the members of my group, as long as the Lord gives me breath, I've said to them, the PDP is bigger than Joseph Attlee. Joseph Attlee will go off the scene, and prayerfully, hopefully, God willing, the PDP will remain and make a lasting and enduring contribution.
How is the leader of the PDP going to be chosen, for example? We come back to this issue of structure. I mean, I know that there are people who have political parties that are chosen from a select group of people, executive council, then if you win government or going to the opposition, then it's the majority of the people on your side. But then there's also this concern about, which has been raised already, that people in the leaders of a party should be chosen from among the total membership of the party rather than any cabal, so to speak. What is the situation with respect to your party?
No cabal, so to speak. I right now serve as the leader of the political leader of the party. Chairman of the party with an administrative perspective. Senator Franklin is the general secretary, and we have others who fill roles. We discuss quite early the constitutional format going forward. And when the time does come, we will enter when we built out branches and built much more so an embodiment of this party. We will proceed to have mechanisms for choice of leadership going forward. We have discussed durations, the circumstances under which leaders in various positions can be elected repeatedly to those offices. Those things we have discussed and have in document. We are not, David, making sport about this business. PDP is serious, and I want to take the moment to express appreciation to the many people who every day, and I kid you not, David, every day, line across Barbados, will see me and give a word of encouragement, will compliment. There has been the odd occasion when there's been some criticism. We know that most who criticize you will not do it to your face, and there'll be some public criticism as well. But there'll be one or two instances where I was blistered by people who have a different sentiment of view from. But David, at the end of the day, we're about building a party which is credible. Like I said, it's bigger than Joseph Hadley. I have told the members of the PDP that they must increase while I decrease. I do not want to seek to lord it over them, even at this emergent stage. We have a very open way of discussing things. We have meetings every single week. There's one scheduled for tomorrow. We discuss these issues, and people are free to give their views.
Yes, I know we've quite justifiably been focusing on yourself, your future, the party's future. But what about the future of Barbados? Right now, Parliament has been prorogued, and they're supposed to be a throne speech on the 15th of this month. What, from your perspective and the party's perspective, would you be looking forward to see coming out of that throne speech that will lead to the economic and social and even political revival and resuscitation of Barbados? What are you specifically looking for? A number of items that will be included in the throne speech that will go to the betterment of Barbados.
Well, I expect very much that the throne speech will reflect the deliberations of the Job and Investment Councils, or Council, the various arms of that that the Prime Minister had set up, so that the consultations which may have been ongoing with them will probably serve as a basis for what may be sounded in the throne speech. There is a context, Glenn, that has to be taken note of. We have significantly high levels of unemployment in Barbados right now. That is new to us. We've never gone this way before. We have the almost total obliteration of the tourism sector in Barbados. We have a persistent drain on our foreign reserves with respect to our food imports and our energy imports. There are a lot of things that come into the mix to shape the context in which we find ourselves. We have borrowed significantly, which means that we'll be coming up against beginning this year on some very high payment installments on the debt that we borrowed before 2019, and the debts into which we've entered with the IMF and others post-2019. But I would like to think, Mr. Murray and David, that if we're going to address the matter of tourism as a principal plank of our agenda going forward, notwithstanding what has happened, that the Barbados government will seek to present a vision for tourism that goes beyond the construction of hotel infrastructure, that would allow for greater worker participation and even a situation that allows for worker ownership in the hotel operations in Barbados. We have a model that has depended upon airlift subsidy, high food import, investment concessions, low level of jobs for workers, and it has been a drain even on the foreign exchange, which we have earned because much of it is repatriated. So we need to have some worker enhancement initiatives that will improve the lot of workers. We need to have product development within our tourism that borrows from foreign investment so that foreign investment goes into the development of tourist attractions in Barbados. The tourist product plant attraction in Barbados is still, I think even the Ministry of Tourism has been admitting to that. We need to have a better deal with respect to cruise traffic. We're talking tourism. Cruise liners come, people transfer from the port to the airport and vice versa. We need to have a situation they spend one or two nights in our hotels and spend in the Barbados economy. We need to increase our home porting potential. So in all, I want to say I look for a better deal with respect to tourism. I would want the repeat, because the PDP is strong on this. We need to democratize ownership in Barbados, how we treat the land access, how we facilitate the capitalization of businesses, small and medium, and also how we educate our people. We need to develop a growing entrepreneurial culture. We need to have a learned investment culture. We need to treat to the environmental issues that is degrading, that are degrading the environment around us, making us less attractive and throwing up new threats to our existence.
Where is the money going to come from?
That will cost us dearly. That's always a question as to where the money is going to come from. And it brings us back to you either earn or you borrow. And then the question is where you borrow, whether it's institutional borrowing or state partners that will help you with that. We need to develop a new dimension to the profile of our domestic investor. And we need to seek for more foreign investment, which is better targeted to our developmental needs. There's a whole set of things that we can, with respect to education.
What about the social environment?
I'm saying we need a new dispensation for the health sector in Barbados, Glen. I have called for that in the past. We have the perfect storm occurring in the health sector in Barbados, and we need to have a new dispensation insofar as that is concerned.
Bishop Ackley, for all our needs, as we come into the home stretch of this program, it may be argued that you had the opportunity to be on the inside of government trying to make a difference in this regard, rather than being on the outside now, talking about what we need to have and what we should have. You've lost your opportunity.
Oh, no, David. I think my opportunity has been enhanced. I think my voice will better be heard from this side. I think that from this side, I can speak with a better sense of perspective and incorporate the views of the people of Barbados and suggest alternative approaches to the government of Barbados.
But you can't help implement.
Oh, well, the day will come when the PDP will be in a position to do that. You need to help me pray and work towards that. That's what this is all about. David, you can help to implement.
Well, that's why we are here today. This is our way of helping so that the people of Barbados can hear you on the question.
We can help to implement by pointing people to areas of endeavor, perhaps which they have not considered, by pointing out fresh ways of looking at things. I think my voice can better be heard from where I am than from anywhere in the bosom of the governing party, whether it be backbench or even if it were front bench. Because what I hear coming from the front bench is a singular voice. It comes in different notes, but it is the same voice. Then you have a large cabinet of 26 with the principle of collective responsibility applying. Everybody is saying the same thing, even when they don't believe it, even when they don't accept it. A backbencher in that mix, his voice is even more muted. So I think from this side, I have a better chance of saying that. I talk to people all over Barbados. I have a meeting this afternoon here. They have been about 16 people who worked temporarily in the immigration department for 18, 19 years. Can you imagine that? As data entry clerks. And they've now been let go at the end of last year, October, November. Not a cent. Not a word as to what befalls them. I have met with PSV people. I have met with the vendors. I have met... David, I don't...
Any regrets, Bishop Ari? Would you have done anything anyway, or do you think you've been vindicated and justified in your positions taken, or where do you go from here?
We won't lament, and it's not a regret. The transition at the political, the domestic, the local, parochial domestic level, St. Michael West, was not as smooth as it would have been because the time constraints were involved. I met with about 7 groups of the St. Michael West community to explain to them. I met with the campaign team that had worked with me in the campaign to explain to them why I was moving. But I didn't get the opportunity to meet with all of St. Michael West. And all those meetings were open to everybody. We did it in their 12 polling districts, and we tried to do it in 7 of those polling districts. We did not get to the other 5 before the whole thing mushroomed.
What?
If there's any, it would be slightly that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for allowing my participation in today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Glen, closing words are yours.
Thank you very much, David, for your participation. I'm sure it made a difference to the quality of the presentation. I want to thank very much the technical operator and producer, as well as especially Bishop Joseph Atley. You know, he seems to have a very heavy schedule as the one-man opposition in the House of Assembly. We gladly found time and disposition to come and make himself available to us and the public through some very open questioning. Thank you very much, Bishop.
Thank you, Blaine and David. And I have to say and admit this, there were two areas of questions that you raised, particularly David, to give me some food for thought. And it shows me that we, as a team, must better crystallize one or two areas, which perhaps they're understood by us, but in terms of communication with the public, we have to better crystallize them for public consumption.
I want to highlight it as one of the important processes between those who govern and those who are governed. And the media is here to work between the two and at times to highlight areas that you might not have seen, you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Grace.
That's it for today's edition of Brass Tack Sunday.